Welcome to the Work the System podcast, where we help entrepreneurs make more and work less by managing the systems of their business. And today I'm very excited. I have Wendy Weiss here today. And Wendy Weiss is known as the Queen of Cold Calling. She's an author, speaker, and sales trainer, and a sales coach. She is recognized as the leading authority on lead generation, cold calling, and new business development. Her clients typically 3x the number of qualified appointments they can schedule, with a corresponding increase in sales revenue and a shortening of the sales cycle. Clients include Avon Products, ADP, Sprint, and thousands of entrepreneurs throughout the world. All right, Wendy, why don't you give us the background? Tell us, how did you become the queen of cold calling?
Well, thank you for asking that question. And I'll begin by saying I was never, ever supposed to be the queen of cold calling. Mm-hmm. I was actually supposed to be a ballerina. I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I moved to New York City, where I still live and work. And I moved here when I was 17 to dance. I studied at the Joffrey Ballet School. And then eventually, like every artist in New York City, I needed a day job. And I waited on tables for a while, and that got kind of tired quickly. And then I got a job with a telemarketing agency that did business development. And it turned out I was really good at it, which was a complete surprise, because ballet dancers, we don't talk. We just dance. We don't talk. So I did that day job for a while. And then I started my own business, where I had clients that I would represent. And I did business development for them. And it was actually one of those first clients that dubbed me the queen of cold calling, because I found so many opportunities for him. And then from there, I segued into the business that I have today. And the business that I have today is that I work with business owners that are looking to grow their business faster, more easily, more profitably. And I want to say one more thing, and I know we'll probably get into it, Josh. But for those of you that are struggling, or don't like the idea of cold calling, you know, I was really lucky. I knew nothing about business, but I got that day job and they taught me this skill. And learning this skill enabled me to build a business. So the really good news for any of you that might be struggling with how to find new clients is what we're talking about today is a communication skill, and it can be learned and it can be improved on.
Well, let me start with maybe the elephant in the room first, because everyone's aware of cold calling, and I think there's probably no one who really likes doing it. Maybe you do, but
I'll take issue with that.
Is it still the same as it used to be? You know, you got email, you got text, you got social media, Facebook, all this other stuff. Does it still work?
It absolutely still works. It doesn't work the way it worked 20 years ago, or 10 years ago, or even 5 years ago. Everything evolves. And by the way, I am a believer in using all of the tools that are available to reach out to potential clients. It's not an either or just pick one. It's really use all of them. And one of the most powerful things that you can do is speak with another human being, with that prospect, on the telephone. There's actual research. It was done at the University of Chicago Booth School of Business. They tested written communication and spoken communication. Written communication could be an email, social media, text, a letter. Spoken communication, when you're face-to-face with someone, or on a Zoom call, or on the phone, or even a voicemail. What they found out was that if people hear you talk, one, they think you're smarter, and two, they're more likely to take action on whatever it is you're talking about. So the phone is a very powerful tool.
So what about the answering rate of phones? So, and you mentioned several different things. So is there like a system or a strategy? And I'll just use our company as an example. We collect phone numbers and we have email addresses. Is there like a way when you would try to engage them with email first and then phone, or just directly to phone, or you send them a voice file, or where do you begin to actually make connection with someone who maybe is not expecting to hear from you?
Well, we teach, you will like this, Josh, we teach a very step-by-step system. for this, because the cliche or the myth about cold calling is you open up the phone book, call anybody, just start dialing the phone with your fingers crossed, and maybe somebody will say yes. But what we actually teach is a very step-by-step system that includes reaching out by phone and sending emails. And I always start with a phone call because, you know what? You pick up the phone, you call someone, they may answer. Then you have the conversation. So start with the phone call. But what we do is a series, I call it a voicemail campaign. It's like a drip campaign for voicemail and email. So it's a series of voicemails and emails that you leave over time. And I can walk through the process if you want to get more granular with it, Josh. But that's what we do. And I have a business development person. Her name is Gail. And she sets appointments for me. And one of the things that I always hear when I speak with a prospect, if she set up the appointment, they say to me, she's so persistent. And it makes me laugh because it's really easy to be persistent if you have a system you're following.
Actually, I do want to get to the granular because for me, but also I think anyone listening, that's going to be a lot of value in, because most people are afraid to do it because they think, well, it's not going to work. And they've done it before. They've called 100 numbers. Nobody really picked up. And they say, well, that doesn't really work. And I think seeing there's a system that works makes people believe they should probably put the effort in. So how does the, what is it, like a 10-day cycle, a 15-day cycle, or what is the system?
Well, we usually start with a month-long cycle. And before I walk you through this, I am going to say that it's really important to micro-target who you're reaching out to and have messaging that's relevant, that's really going to resonate. Otherwise, it's not going to work. So put that aside for a moment. There is research that shows that on average, it takes somewhere between 8 to 12 touches to get someone to respond. And so we usually start, we start with 8 touches. And we track. It's really important to track what you're doing. And then that lets us know, do we need more touches? Can we do it with fewer touches? But a touch is a phone call, a voicemail. It's an email. It could be a text. So we do week one, call the prospect. If you get voicemail, leave voicemail number one. And immediately send email number one. They mirror each other. They say exactly the same thing. You wait about a week. If you haven't heard back, you call again. If you get voicemail, you leave voicemail number two, which is different from number one. And you immediately send email two, which is the same as voicemail number two. They mirror each other. You wait about a week. If you haven't heard back, call again. If you get voicemail, it's voicemail number three, different from one and two, but the same. Then you send along that email. Email three and voicemail three are the same. Now, these first three voicemail-email combos have to be about challenges that prospects have that you can help them with. It has to be relevant. The last message, you wait about a week, voicemail-email combination number four. I call this the move-on message. The move-on message goes like this. Josh, I've tried to reach you a number of times to discuss fill in the blank. I haven't heard back from you. I know you're busy. So I'm figuring this just isn't a good time for us to talk. I don't want to be a pest. So I'm going to cease and desist. And we'll check back with you. And you name a time frame. Could be 3 months, could be 6 months, could be a year. That's really just contingent on how many leads you have. And then you say, but if you've been meaning to get back to me and just haven't had the chance, I'd love to discuss fill in the blank with whatever it is you want to talk about. This is actually the most returned message. And this is why it works. There are people that are in the market today, whatever it is you do, there are people in the market. They're looking for it. But here's the thing. They think You might be a business owner, you might be the CEO, however whatever title you use, they think you're a salesperson. And they think because you're a salesperson, you're going to keep calling them. What most people do is they call once, maybe they call twice, maybe they even call three times, and then they just stop. They never say, I'm not going to call you again. They just stop. But your prospect thinks you're going to keep calling them. So you might be on their list. They want to talk to you, but you're down at the bottom because they think you're going to call them again. So when you say, I don't want to be a pest, so I'm going to stop, the people that want to talk to you will respond. And there are people that are in the market today that will respond. There are people, maybe they're not in the market today, but they know at some point in the future that they will be. And because you have to have left some good messages previously to make them want to talk to you, they will also reach out. And one of the things that we have also seen, you will get more of a response by email. It's easier for them. And we have seen this, we've seen it internally, we've seen it with our clients, but sometimes you say, oh, I'm getting all the responses by email, I'm going to stop calling. When you do that, the response rate goes down. So you still continue to leave voicemails and send the emails.
It makes me feel really good. This is the process that we're actually doing right now. Similar, but I got a few little insights here. Now, what is the way to deliver an email, or sorry, a voicemail that actually gets responded well? Is it about your tone? Is it about your energy? Is it about the things you say? How do you leave a voicemail that actually gets responded to?
Well, it's certainly about tone. It's certainly about energy. But most of all, it's about saying something that's relevant. The goal when you leave a voicemail is to get someone to respond. Because quite frankly, even if they respond and they say, take me off your list, they just did you a huge favor. You don't have to spend any time calling them. You can now go call somebody that's going to say yes. So what we're looking for is a response. And you want to script these messages. I know people don't like the idea of scripts, but my definition of the word script is if you think before you speak. That is a script. So what is it you want to convey? What is the challenge that your prospects have that you can help them with? And how do they talk about it? Not how do you talk about it, but how do they talk about it? And I can give you an example. We had someone in our program a while back. She was a consultant, and she worked with nonprofit agencies. And she helped them produce their fundraising events. And so I said to her, okay, well, why should a nonprofit agency be interested in working with you? And she said, oh, well, we have a very special proprietary process. And I said, okay, so what? Tell me about your process. She said, oh, well, we meet with the client. I said, okay, so what? She said, well, we ask a lot of questions. Okay, so what? Well, we analyze the answers. I said, okay, so what? Then she said, well, we make recommendations. And I said, okay. So how is your client better off after you meet with them, you ask your questions, analyze the answers, you make recommendations, how are they better off? She said, oh, their fundraising events make money. I said, bingo. So we helped her put together a script about helping nonprofit agencies raise more money on their fundraising events. And when she got someone on the phone, they would talk to her, they would set an appointment with her. When she left them a voicemail or sent them an email, they would respond, because the ones that wanted to make more money on their fundraising events needed that kind of help.
So that makes total sense to me. Now, with the micro-targeting you mentioned in the beginning, do you have any techniques or what in order to actually micro-target your target? Like, how do you do that? Are there certain tools? What would you consider a good micro-target?
Well, you have to look at, I call this the ideal prospect profile.
Okay.
What a lot of what a lot of businesses are just really reactive. They work with whoever comes in the door. What I like about this process is you get to choose. It's really very powerful. Who do you want to work with? Which companies would be the best fits for you in your market? And that's really where you start, by defining what makes an ideal, not any old kind of prospect that maybe is going to do some teeny tiny little thing with me, but who are the ideal ones? And so that is looking at the size of the company, either by revenue or employee count. Maybe it's a particular industry. Maybe they need to be in a specific geographic location. People come to our program. We actually called our program 3X Appointments. It's our core program, because participants in the program triple the number of qualified appointments they can schedule. And often what they do is I'll say, describe an ideal prospect. And they'll say, any company that has 5 to 50,000 employees. And I'll say, well, we need to narrow that down a little bit. Because when you narrow it down and you really micro-target, first of all, it makes it easier to find them. Second of all, and really importantly, it helps you create, it's so much easier to create the messaging, that introduction is really going to resonate so that they want to talk to you.
Now, changing gears a little bit, but I'm thinking of all of the reasons people don't do it or put excuses to not do this. And one of them that comes up is compliance, where they're afraid they're going to get in trouble, calling, emailing, texting, and there might be some kind of lawsuit or GDPR. Is there any compliance things that people need to be aware of before they start embarking on this kind of technique?
Well, I'll begin by saying I'm not an attorney, so this is not legal advice. And I am only talking in the realm of B2B, because B2C is different. The big thing that you have to, if somebody says, take me off your list, take them off the list. Don't keep calling them. And I think that's really the biggest thing. If you think about this call, it's a business call. It's an introduction. That's all it is. You're introducing yourself to a likely prospect. And so in that context, there's really no issue. But again, if somebody says, take me off your list, take them off the list.
Now, how do you find a person to do it? Because if I'm a business owner listening to this conversation, I'm saying, that sounds great. But I really, really, really don't want to do that myself. And likely a business owner shouldn't do it themselves. And they likely don't have anybody in their team who has the fortitude or the skill or the backbone to do it. So how do you find someone like this to do this kind of work?
Are you asking me how to hire someone internally? There's certainly lots of agencies one can outsource to.
Do you recommend that? Do you recommend finding an agency to do this for you? Or do you recommend finding someone who just is a hard worker and training them? What is the best way to kind of get someone in this seat?
Well, the best way to do this is to take a step back, and before you hire anyone, to have a system in place that is benchmarked, so that you, when you hire someone, whether it's you hire a someone internally or you go hire an agency, you know what to expect. Mm-hmm. And one of the big mistakes that I see so many business owners make is they say, I'm going to hire a salesperson, or I'm going to hire an appointment setter. And I say, great. What do you have in place for them? And the answer, unfortunately, is often nothing. And so then you're, aside from the fact that it often does not work, you're really ceding your power to someone else to define your message. So how do you want to be represented in the marketplace by this caller, whoever they might be? And that's really the first step. is putting that system in place. And one of the things we often do with business owners, we'll work with them, we'll help them set up that system, and then they're in a place. Sometimes we'll have them prove the model themselves, but then they know what their numbers are. They can go hire someone, or they have at least have the system in place and they can hire someone to prove the model. But we know what the numbers should be. So if someone's making the calls, we can then tweak what needs to be tweaked.
So then what about the profile? Like, is there like a Myers-Briggs profile or a DISC assessment or some kind of assessment that would tell you, okay, this person would be good at this? Because I feel like this is a position where when you hire somebody, their success rate or their chances are low. So how do you boost the chances of having a successful appointment setter?
You boost the chances by training them.
Okay.
You can train someone to set an appointment in a matter of months.
Okay.
You know, what most businesses do is they hire someone, they keep them around, especially if they hire a salesperson, not just an appointment setter. Then it might take a number of years to find out if they're actually going to sell anything if you have a long sales cycle. But an appointment setter, you can train someone to set appointments on your behalf in a matter of months, 3 months, 4 months. And if you have hired someone that is not setting appointments in that time with some good training, they're probably not going to be able to do it for whatever reason. There are some people that just won't pick up the phone no matter what you do. But for everybody else, you can just, it's a communication skill. You can learn it.
What are some good benchmark numbers? So if you bring someone on and say, hey, here's a list, go for it. Maybe you give them some more structure. Are there certain numbers where you say, hey, you should be doing this many calls, this many emails, this much conversion, this many appointments that are kind of standard in the industry? Or does it vary quite a bit based on the list quality?
Well, list quality is really important. And we actually look at three numbers. It's, you know, one of the really stupid things, dumb things that people say about cold calling, and there's a lot of them. But people will say it's a numbers game and you just dial the phone 100 times. And if that doesn't work, dial the phone 200 times. And if that doesn't work, dial the phone 300 times. But we actually want to look at conversion. And that is the conversion of dials. You dial the phone, dials into conversations with the right person, with a decision maker, not with a gatekeeper, with a decision maker. And then the conversion of those conversations into appointments. So if you look at the conversion of dials into conversations, that number is a little trickier because it does depend on the list. The better the quality of your list, the higher the conversion is going to be there. But also, depending on the market, you could have, if you're calling CEOs of fairly large companies, it can be as low as 3%. It can be as high as 25%, depending on the market. But the other number that we look at that is vitally important is what is the conversion of the conversations with decision makers into qualified appointments? And we want to look at a minimum of a 20% conversion. So you get 10 people on the phone, two of them at a minimum should say yes to an appointment. Now we see conversion numbers that are much higher than that, but that's minimum number. So that's the real numbers game, conversion.
Okay, so you get a list, you call 100 people, and you get, let's just say, 20% on the phone after calling them a few times. And then at that point, another 20% of those you would hope are actually qualified to actually have a sales conversation. Is that right?
Well, they should be qualified before you call them.
Okay.
So I mean, it depends on your definition of the word qualified. If your definition of the word qualified is they're ready to give me their credit card, then it's going to be a much lower number.
Okay.
But if the definition is that they're qualified, that they meet the criteria of what makes an ideal prospect, they're, you know, the right industry, the right size, I'm talking to the decision maker, not to a manager who's going to say, I have to ask my boss, you know, if all of those, that they're open to having that conversation, then that would be a different number.
Yeah, I feel like, Wendy, I could talk to you all day about this because I got a lot of questions. I know that time is kind of running out for this particular podcast. Maybe I'll have to have you on again with either this group or another group. So I want to get to kind of our standard sign-off questions. And one of them is to, one of them is always about a system, and you already told us about a system. So I want to jump to the next question, which is, why don't you tell us one thing that I forgot to ask you, but I should have asked you during this conversation.
Okay. Well, I'm going to combine your two questions, and it'll be my system that I learned in ballet class.
Okay.
Because everything I know in life or in business, I learned in ballet class. This is what I learned in ballet class. Warm up, rehearse, perform. That's what we do when we're dancers. The first thing you got to do is you warm up so you don't get hurt. So when you're cold calling, the first thing you have to do is warm up, which means getting that micro-targeted list together, putting your scripts together so you're saying something that resonates. If you're a dancer, you don't just run out on stage and start dancing. You've been rehearsing. You practice for months. So this is why sales trainers, we love role playing, but you got to practice because you want that automatic muscle memory so that when you're speaking with a prospect, you just say what you have to say and it's the words come out of your mouth because you practiced. And then when you've done those two things, that's when you get on the phone. That's when you do the performance. The problem most people have is they jump right to the performance. They don't warm up. They don't rehearse. And then the performance, not good.
Yep. No, I believe it. Owners of companies have a way of being impatient and wanting to get that ROI in a couple of days instead of a couple of months. So I understand that. So Wendy, where can people find out more information about you and how to get some help?
Hey, well, a few different places. First of all, I invite you to download my gift to you. It is the Business Owner's Guide to Getting More Qualified Sales Appointments When Their Prospects Are All Completely Freaking Out. And the guide is, it's 12 ways to find more sales opportunities now. And you're going to post that link, I believe.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Okay. You can also visit us. Website is coldcallingresults.com. And one more thing, you can call me. I'm a phone person, 866-220-4242. I bet you never had a guest give out a phone number before, right?
It's very rare, very rare.
866-220-4242. That's my phone number. If you leave me a voicemail, leave me a message, I'll call you back.
Awesome. No, I think that's great. It gets right down to the point. In the world of all these automated emails and all these automated funnels, just getting on the phone gets right to the chase and people don't have time to mess around with that sometimes. And so that's great. Well, good. Wendy, thanks again for being on the show. Thanks everybody for joining us live on this podcast. We stream these pretty much every Friday. So you can join us on the Work the System Facebook page for that. Or maybe you're listening to this on iTunes or some other podcast player or YouTube or Instagram, we're all over the place. So again, thank you for being here with us. And then if you want a copy of that book right there, Work the System, the one behind me on the video, you can get that for free at workthesystem.com as a download. But if you want the physical copy mailed to you, leave us a review. Once a week, we grab a name out of a hat and we mail that person a free copy of the book. All I like to do is take a picture of that review and send it over to info@workthesystem.com and we'll send it out your way. Again, Wendy, thanks, and we'll catch everybody soon.